Welcome to episode number 3 of Antimeme. This episode's going to be on self-jamming. We have a very special guest for this episode. At a cost, though. It sounds like I'm calling from a walkie-talkie from Iraq in a lead room. But we did what we could with the technology we had, so just as a heads up, I'm going to sound a little bit funky after the opening music. But I hope you enjoy the show, because there's some good info here.
Thanks for having me, Logic.
Yeah, no problem. It actually feels like an episode of Radio Freak America, just because there's a lot of things in common here. Duel's actually recording this, and I'm on the cell phone, just as a heads up there. But it's still content of culture jamming, so it should be a really fun episode. This episode is going to be on self-jamming, or hacking yourself. Duel here, he'll have a definition for it.
Yeah, I actually woke up with this after you told me about the topic of this show. I apparently mulled it over in my little brain all night long, and here's what I came up with. Self-jamming is the elimination of personal negative effects of core political culture by internalizing jamming. That is, jamming corporate influence that affects you.
Right, and one other question may be, well, yeah, that's all great, but why should I do that? There's a few reasons for it, and I'm not trying to force anybody into this way of thinking. I think of it as, you know, taking the red pill. You can choose which one you want to take, but I would look at it as a step to enlightenment, or it's a form of mental freedom and independence, and it gives you the ability to regain that ability to have authentic thought, which means thought of your own, not thought of the corporation.
That's right. You get rid of that influence.
Right. So now for what's called the housekeeping, we go into the emails. We got three of them for this episode here. First one is from Surface Tension, one of our buddies from the Phoenix 2600 group, and actually also went to school with him. He's one of the elitist programmers I know, so yeah, he's a cool guy. I think Antimeme is really interesting, and I like where it's going. I'd like to help out if you can use it. I have some suggestions if you're open to it. Having a devil's advocate would be pretty cool, as to throw up arguments against what you're saying, and then you reasonably address said arguments. He also goes on to say, I think in your last airing, Logical Fallacies, you could have pointed out the difference between a sound and valid argument. I'm not sure if Logic classes really touched on that, and I remember we talked about the subject once, but I had a little authority on it. I did, however, find a good site that talks in detail for even the layman to understand, and he actually had a link to that. I'll put that up on the details section. And then he says, anyway, keep it up. One response I had to that email is, as far as pointing out the difference between sound and valid arguments, I plan on doing another episode on just that and logical inferences. I'll be bringing Medicine Stew back on, hopefully, for that one, too. It's kind of a few in a series of logic. I plan on doing another show on the topic would be anti-theorems, which I don't know if that's a real word or not, but that's what I'm using, and it's just actually going to be a fun show on doing weird stuff and the benefits of that. Next email is from Snake Dog. Goes on to say, I just wanted to drop you a line from my sabbatical to congratulate you on Antimeme. It's a good idea for a show, and I'm glad to see you're doing it. It is different from anything else out there right now. Very original, but also very interesting. It's just good that you just did it, to paraphrase the Nike meme, which is about 99% of what people don't do. They sit back and bitch and complain and talk about what sucks or what's missing, but you stepped and did something about it. You're a good guy, and I'm glad that I spent some time with you at DEF CON, and we had the chance, and I have an instant message window coming up so I can read this. so we had a chance to hang out. Yeah, that's nice. Now, he goes on to say, I have no doubt that you will enjoy doing the show, and it will be hugely successful and enlightening to listeners. Kudos, great job, Stink Dog. And props to Zapperlink for trying to IM me when I told him to... anyway, he gets props for the show because of that. All right. So, thanks, Stink Dog. It was pretty cool hanging out with you at DEF CON, and I understand what you mean about people bitching and complaining, and you probably know very well, too, for running the whole Bin Rev Empire. There's a lot of stuff going on with that. It was a lot of fun. Next email from actually a friend from school and college, Evan. It's kind of a long email, but I really like the whole email, so I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, I listened to your show, Memantics. It is very interesting. I took a class at this school that examined the use of mass media outlets and their effects on the population. There's no doubt in my mind that mass media is used to control the population in more ways than one. Advertising is, in fact, used to control what you think, thus controlling what and where you buy things. The thing that keeps aspects of advertising industry legal is that most of what they do, controlling people through memantics, is very hard to prove and sadly protect by the First Amendment. Advertising is filled with manipulation, half-truths, or the most distorted truth legally possible to say. Some advertising gurus that you might want to look into are Ernest Dichter, a pioneer in sexual motivation advertising, Ted Bates, who coined the phrase new and improved, and an enhanced image as thought out by David, I think it's Ogilvy, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And then he goes on to say, there are fascinating things that happen in the advertising industry that is well under the radar screen of the general population, like accusations that the word sex is imprinted in tiny letters in every Ritz cracker, or that ice cubes and liquor ads contain pictures of severed human genitalia and other sexually attractive body parts, although I don't know if I'd find severed genitalia attractive. There were Pepsi cans in the 90s that, when stacked up on each other, like they would be in the grocery store, if aligned properly, would spell the word sex, or that there's a naked picture of a woman on every Camel pack. He also says, the advertising industry controls what people think are cool, when and what type of bodies are attractive, what colors are in season. They even control how we view the family unit and reinforces almost every stereotype there is, like black people, white people, goths, jocks, punks. It creates stereotypes of the way people act and what they look like and act like. Everyone since the 50s has been bombarded with advertising to the point that everyone that knows what it is like before advertising is going to be dead, leaving us the generation with lost souls. My grandma grew up in an environment where she was not coerced into thinking in these prefabricated, socially constructed models. I was not. What would it have been like if I wasn't allowed to explore my individuality instead of spending my life in a suburb seeking things that are the same, unoriginal copies of a once original idea? Or would society be like if people were able to think outside the models or the molds, be aware of other people and respect them for their differences? Well, I have envisioned one thing that would be different, and that is we could all consume less, because the desire is created. The desire for new clothes isn't a human instinct. It is psychological manipulation, playing upon desires and confusing people, focusing the desire to be loved into a desire to shop a desire to have sex into a desire for pornography, a desire for acceptance into a desire to mimic someone that is accepted. Sometimes I have a hard time deciphering what the advertisers want me to think and what I actually do think. One thing is for sure, my rejection of all things commercial has metaphorically taken me out of the matrix, and I am beginning to see the sadness and despair of society and the confusion that is a result of the emptiness that so many people are filling with consumption. Consumption is something that is and will kill us. Sorry for the long email, but advertising is something that just deeply disturbs me, and I am glad to see that I'm not the only one that is being disturbed, and I'm not the only one that is creating the anti-meme, though I do it through ranting to people in stores, and yours has manifested in the form of the best channel of communication, the internet. Can't wait till the next show. Wait. And I would say to that last part, talking to people in stores and spreading it that way is great. It's just another way to spread the virus, as John Kennedy would put it. But really, that's kind of how revolution can work, is like spreading a virus. You infect a few people, and they infect more people. It sounds like a bad way to put it, but just on a logical level, it can work that way, and that's good for us.
Absolutely. Now, I got to tell you, that's a great, great email.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with it more. I mean, I was debating whether I want to read the whole thing or not, because it is kind of long, but it's a great email. It's great info there. So on with the show topic, Duel, did you want to get into the background?
Yeah, basically, to cover jamming in 10 seconds, first of all, where the term came from, culture jamming, it came from the Negative Land album, Jam Con 84. I highly recommend that you pick it up. And what is jamming? Jamming is basically using the corporate memes against themselves, right? So, you know, taking an ad, changing it in some way, even a subtle way, and then using it against them to get another message out, the opposite message of what they want. Culture Jam by Kali Lassen, of course, Adbusters, and now Anti-Meme Radio. So that's what, again, in a nutshell, that's what jamming is. That's the background. The scope of what we're talking about is huge. The jamming that, well, honestly, there's not much jamming going on. If you look at all of the information that is bombarded upon you, right, that is bombarding you, and how much is going back at them, it's very little, right? It's despairingly little. So that's why we're here, to spread this knowledge, right, to spread this information, so you can use it and keep, and basically, again, jam yourself.
Did you want to take off on some of the examples of what the corporations have influence on for yourself that we have to jam?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like the email said, emotional manipulation. They're using advertising to manipulate us, right? To manipulate all the adolescent girls reading these magazines. I need to look like this. I have to have this makeup. I have to wear these clothes. Physical control. If you don't think that you cannot be or aren't physically controlled through substances, you're incorrect. Caffeine, right? Fats, sugars, all of those things, let alone nicotine.
Alcohol.
I was just going to say that, nicotine and alcohol. And I'm sure there are more. I'm sure there are many, many more. But those are two of the biggest, and it's constant.
It's terrible. Yeah. Looks like we're about halfway through the show, so it looks like it's about time for our uncommercial, just trying to keep things balanced. So last week we did Coca-Cola, this time we're doing Pepsi.
Go, 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 go. Touchdown!
Touchdown!
That's right, buddy. Touchdown. That's right. No, we don't say touchdown for those guys, just the silver guys.
Touchdown!
Oh. No.
Touchdown!
What have you been teaching him? Huh?
That's my boy.
Pepsi and Lay's, official sponsors of the NFL.
Touchdown!
Oh, that's right. Touchdown.
Okay, back from the commercial from Pepsi. It's one of those examples of probably non sequitur again, if you remember that one from last show. It doesn't make any fucking sense. But if you could put a structure to it, I would kind of match it up with the whole name-dropping idea, because basically all Pepsi says is their argument for purchasing Pepsi is that they are sponsors for football. which, you know, who cares? Who fucking cares? What I want to know is, does Pepsi taste good? Which I don't really go for cola anyway. It's just brown sugar water, so that's what I think about it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, who cares, who you know, who you're a sponsor of? That does not matter to me. But that's not even the biggest mindfuck in there. It's the whole raising your kid to get into something that they may not have interest in otherwise on their own, which is football. And I'm not trying to rag on sports because it's a legitimate thing. There are people out there that are interested into it. I mean, I'm interested in the games. Sports can be a game. It's also very athletic, which is also good. But I also think that there may be people out there that are into sports for the wrong reasons. But we'll kind of touch on that in a little bit. You're going to do a little bit of talking about some tips on how to jam yourself?
That's right. To get right into it, we will share with everybody the tips that we thought were very helpful into self-jamming. First, reverse the time sink. Now, what does that mean? It means that most everything is a distraction. All of these, you know, 3,500 images a day, all of the things that the corporations try to make you think are important are a time sink. This is a great segue from the commercial, because my example, again, off the top of my head, and no, I'm not, talking down on anybody who likes sports, is the NFL. I think it's great if people want to enjoy a game, if people want to watch a game, that's awesome, do that. But the artificial importance of it, the analysis, you know, the drama, you know, I mean, come on, we're talking about a game, okay? You need to reverse that. You need to put it in perspective. It is a game. I will enjoy it. It will not rule my life. So you need to eliminate those corporate distractions. Realize what is important, and then fill your life with things that are meaningful. And that's actually the next tip: meaningful consumption. I'm not here to judge. We're not here to judge. But you should make. What's that? Yeah, absolutely. So what do I mean by meaningful consumption? I mean, take something that you have passion for, even if it is football, have a passion for it, right? And do something healthy with it. If you do have a passion for football, play football, coach a youth team, something. Definitely consume alternative media. Try to, I'm not going to say throw your TV out. That's not, you know, that's just not feasible. Probably, you know, absolutely some people do. But, you know, you can't live in these absolutes. And we'll actually touch on that later. Change your eating habits, your transportation, your clothing. Try to have a smaller ecological footprint. Try to eat organic foods, try to consume products that you know come from, you know, manufacturers, companies that use fair trade practices. And then practice unbranding things. And I know, Logic, I know you do this as well, and I've actually done it. I've gone so far as to scrape the name, the logo, and I don't know why any company would ever do this, but scrape logos off of buttons on shirts. I will cut tags off. I know Sumerian does that a lot. So, get rid of those brands. You know, if you happen to buy something that has, you know, a name on it, you know, you don't want to be an advertisement for them. Now, Logic, you've got a couple of tips that you want to cover, right, to close these tips out.
Yeah, that's correct. One of the tips I give is avoid pop culture, like avoid pop magazines. Just avoid what is circulating the normal media. But along with avoiding that stuff, try to consume the authentic and original stuff, like magazines or culture. Like just today, I bought the newest issue of Outbusters. I mean, it's not a pop magazine. It's actually kind of a revolutionary magazine, and it's about what we're talking about. It is about culture jamming. And it's kind of funny. This one looks like the front of a Time magazine, but it's tricky. It's at Buster's, but I also bought it at an Ultra alternative store. It's called Sunflower Market. It's not a chain store. That's why I was kind of thrown for a loop there, is because they wouldn't sell Time Magazine. But
oh, wow.
That's why it looks like it's going to be a good one. But, yeah, one of the other tips I have, which I'm not going to go into on this episode because I'll have a whole episode on it, but that's to practice anti-theorems. And it's just basically doing really weird stuff to try to get unexpected results. And then one of the major tips I'd have, kind of I'd call it a meta tip, like just something to do all the time, is to try to be self-aware, try to ask yourself questions. Questions about how you feel when you do what you're doing, and ask yourself why you're doing the things you're doing. Kind of one thing we sort of touched on earlier was the whole football thing. I mean, you can ask yourself, do I really like football? Or do I even like sports, you know? And again, I don't want to bash that one too hard. It sounds like we already have. But, I mean, another thing is, do I really enjoy this holiday that we're celebrating? And could I celebrate it without purchasing stuff? Because it seems to me that a lot of holidays are about consumption. And another thing is, how would I feel about purchasing a knockoff? I can say this from personal experience. I tried it just as an experiment. You know, I drink Mountain Dew, so I'm going to try to not purchase that. I'm going to try to purchase something else, like for the drop, you know, Red Drop or whatever it is, like a Kroger brand.
Dr. K.
And it was really good stuff, but the thing that pissed me off is when I asked myself, how do I feel about this? I was uncomfortable buying the knockoff. I felt weird about it. And I shouldn't feel weird about it, but that anger of feeling weird about it made me want to do that kind of stuff even more, to liberate myself from that mind control. Another question is, am I actually going to use that gadget I just bought? Are you actually going to use the gadget, or did you buy it just to impress people, you know? Because consuming, you know, you consume stuff, and you get status of the things you consume. Another big question that I've had to ask myself is, do I enjoy collecting things, especially if they cost money? One thing I had was collecting CDs. Nothing against music. I love music. But after I had about 300 of my CDs stolen, I realized that I collected the CDs to have that plastic, and it wasn't completely about the music, and I had to realize that. And it was good that I got that stuff stolen. And it's good that I backed it up on my computer, too. Fair use, fuckers. Yeah, it's a good, I realize I'm listening to it for the music. Kept the archive, listen to that. Good times. Another thing is, you know, do I really want that car? Or is it for the status? Am I dreaming about my dream job because I like the job? Or is it because of the status? Do I like that girl because I think she's sweet or nice? Or because she'll give me better status? I mean, it truly pisses me off that there's so many women out there that feel like shit about themselves because the pop magazines tell them that they're shitty. And what's worse is they fucking pay for that shit. I think I'm swearing too much, but it kind of pisses me off, you know? Like, there's so many beautiful women out there that don't think they're good because of this stuff. And, I mean, my love goes out to all of them because it's just fucked up that they think that they're shit when they're not, you know? I mean, I don't know. Would you agree with me about that?
I totally agree. I often find that beauty is not what you see on TV. It's not the caricature of humanity that is portrayed in popular media. That is, you know, I'm not some muscle-bound mother effer, you know, with this great wrestler tan. And guess what? I don't really want to be. I don't. I'm very happy with myself, my body, my wife, you know, my home. I'm happy with what I have, and that's what self-jamming is about. These questions, this meta-tip, that's the best part of this show right now. Everybody needs to do this before you drop the coin on something you think you need. So often anymore, I see people with iPods, right? And that's fine. I've got a little music device as well, not an iPod. I use it because I love music. I love listening to Newsreel. I love listening to all of these things. But so many people I see with, you know, they have them, you know, they might as well wear them around their neck. You know, they've got them like perched in this, you know, like a holster on there, you know, and they just want everybody to see they've got this iPod, and that's great. I'm glad you've got that iPod, but don't buy it for that reason, so you can show it off, so you're cool now, because that's not what it's about. It's about the love of music. It's about the love of yourself. It's the love of your family. It's nature, right? Those things are important. Not buying things. Don't let the fear, don't let the emotional manipulation make you do things that aren't healthy.
Okay, we're kind of running short on time, so probably going to have to go to the shouts, actually. Do you have any shouts that you had in mind?
Big thanks to you for having me on this show. This is a great topic. I wish we had more time. Everybody, don't live in absolutes, and make sure you ask yourself those questions.
Okay, and as far as shouts, I'd say shout to Sean Kennedy. He pimped the show on his episode of Newsreel. And listen to that, too. RantRadio.com. You can find it from there. And until next time, question everything, including yourself.